Oh, it's difficult because this is the kind of stuff that's exciting because you can really deal with it hands-on at your parish. But so, and some of the tables don't want to move to the next priority, but we're going to do that anyway. I know that at some tables, of course, there's more than one parish. And while it would be ideal if it was just the individual parishes, I think the idea of sharing amongst two parishes or even three, that's quite acceptable too. And if you want to keep, it was suggested you might even take an iPhone shot of your sheet if you wanted to keep a copy for yourself. But we want to collect those in a few minutes. But right now we're going to move to the second priority. But before we do that, we're just going to pray for a minute on the information that we've collected in this one. Okay. So is everybody ready? Okay, everybody raise their hands that we're ready to move on. Okay, so we'll just, Charlie, if you just want to pray over this one and then we'll move.
Dear friends, I'm really sorry that you're being squeezed on this, and this is so important. We need to ask the Lord to work, even the thoughts that he's already given us, and we want to pray for Ray David and his leadership of this. Lord Jesus, we thank you that in your mercy, you've called us to be witnesses to you and to declare the excellencies of your great name. We thank you for each congregation represented here. We thank you for the thoughts already that have come forward and for the actions which can be considered right off the top. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Would you bless Ray David and his leadership and for the committee which will be called together? Would you help them to provide resources and encouragement for congregations across the country? And Lord, would you move us forward so that all of us will learn how to share the gospel and would do it? Bless us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ray David. Well done. Now we're going to move on to priority number two. Can I just say that, in fact, we are really squeezed for time. We have to be done for 4:30. So each speaker, Paul Donison, who's over there, is going to give you a two-minute warning when you've got only 2 minutes left. He's right there. George, take it away.
Oh, sorry. I'm going to basically leave you with a question and show you the problem that we face. So here's the question. How do we weave a deep, humble, growing confidence in God's Word written, the Bible, into the DNA and fabric of Anik? How do we weave a deep, humble, growing confidence in God's Word written, the Bible, into the DNA and fabric of Anik? My name's George. I'm Pastor Church of the Messiah. On November 5th, 1972, about 2 kilometers that way, I gave my life to Jesus. And so I've been a Christian for 42 years. This the anniversary would have been just a few days ago. If you don't know me, I'm married to Louise. I have 9 children. Six of my children are married. They have provided us with 8 grandchildren. We still have 3 kids who are at home. And so God has been very kind to us. And to date, at least all 9 of our children walk with Jesus, which is really good. And I look forward to there being more Anik churches because most of them, where they live, they can't go to an Anik church, so they're in other churches. But they're just following Jesus. That's what matters. So that looks like a simple question, okay? What we just do is you get the archdeacons and the bishop to make you feel guilty because you're not memorizing the Bible and not doing daily devotions, and you're already feeling guilty because you're not losing enough weight, making enough money, getting younger, a whole pile of other things, and you come to Anik, and we will give you new things to feel guilty about. And isn't Christianity wonderful? So you say, you know, I don't know why, George, this is a simple thing, but you know, you puzzle about it. You know, if you've been listening to Keith, our hearts are hard. A few years ago, Book of Common Prayer, evening prayer, I preached a biblical sermon. I didn't preach on the epistle text that that night. I preached on the Old Testament text after the service was over. A couple came up to me, and they were really bothered by a part of the text that I didn't preach on. And so I asked them, you know, so I started to, you know, I nuance, and I just preached on like 2 months earlier, so you know, the Greek and this, etc. But then I realized, it was one of those few times in my life when it was, the Holy Spirit just really gave me like a word of knowledge, and I said to the person, I said, you know, you're both very, very, very bright. If you were to spend the next 20 years of your life, and you're going to learn Greek, Hebrew, you're going to learn Latin, you're going to become an expert in the transmission of the biblical text, you're going to study cultural linguistics, you're going to study anthropology, archaeology, you're going to study every particular discipline you can possibly study. So, and at the end of those 20 years of study, if it turns out that the English text is well translated and accurately translated, would you try to believe it and do it? And they said, absolutely not, not under any circumstance. And I said, we have a very different problem here then. There's no point in me talking about nuancing the Greek. There's a hardness of heart there. Hardness of heart. Prayer book, biblical sermon, whole pile of stuff. Growing up, good young couple. A few years ago, I went to, if I said the name of this fellow, well-known evangelical Anglican bishop, I was really looking forward to, I'd been told by people he had really good deep teaching. I have a counseling degree. I sat there waiting to hear his deep teaching, and I realized he was giving me undigested secular therapy with Bible verses totted on at the end. I could have told you the secular therapist that he basically was just giving in an unregurgitated format. It was therapy. A great problem for most of our churches is therapeutic moral deism. We give therapeutic advice, moralistic preaching, and we're concerned with rituals with an absent God. And we like it that way because even after we've given our lives to Jesus, natural human religion is deeply embedded at the center of who we are. And we often don't recognize that we're providing moralistic and therapeutic teaching. Went to another well-known evangelical church. The text was Romans 6, which culminates with, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it was a very, very wonderful sermon on gifts. Giving gifts, receiving gifts. Moralistic teaching. So how do we weave a deep, humble, growing confidence in God's word written in the Bible into the DNA and fabric of Anik? We cannot bear the weight of such a task. And I realized I had to rephrase the question, and I'm going to leave you with a question. Did I do it? How will God weave a deep, humble, growing confidence in God's word written, the Bible, into the DNA and fabric of Anik? How will he do it? And that means how the Sunday schools are run, how preachers preach, how bishops meet, how our council meetings work into the DNA and fabric. I leave you with the question, pray for me as I try to form a team. Pray for me as I try to figure out what it is that God is doing, what he's calling us to do so that he will weave this into us.